The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Chris, good morning. Love your show. You and Eddie are the dynamic duo.
I have a very hard time finding any news source that I can trust, so I'm very grateful to have this listen to on the way to work.
And remember, they're coming after me because I'm standing up for you, and they're coming after you. Believe me, they're coming up for you.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Still the United States of America, looking less like her all the time, but still broadcasting from the greatest country on planet Earth. Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Trump's official kind of reaction to all of this was in the form of a campaign video of sorts yesterday, where he reminds his audience, as he has been since he was running, since he was president, before he ran for a second term, this has never been about him. This is not about him. As I said yesterday, this is about you. And everyone should understand that a billionaire real estate guy who's a populist, who's been a Democrat most of his adult life, who decided to change parties and run for the Republican nomination, I remind you, this is a guy that I wasn't remotely interested in. This wasn't a guy I felt a thing for. You know, it's funny because I think that I am the personification of an American citizen who is deeply alarmed at what he watches and has nothing to do with any kind of emotional investment in Donald Trump. And the mistake that the American left is making is that they presume that guys like me, when I say this is happening to you as much as it's happening to him, they think that it's born out of a sycophantic fanboy place. They think that your rage and my rage, your alarm and my alarm, they think that's born out of fierce loyalty to our leader. And that's where they're sorely mistaken. They don't, they have never, and they still do not understand what Donald Trump tapped into. They don't understand how much Donald Trump opened so many millions of Americans' eyes, mine included. That's what they don't get. What they don't understand, they still do not understand what they've done. I mean, they literally know what they've done, but they don't know the political avalanche that they're about to create, I believe. Because what they did, as I explained to you yesterday, was took pretty ambivalent people in the Trump column and made them warrior mad. You just sprayed, you know, it's like when you turn a hose on a wasp's nest, you don't knock it down. You just make the wasps start swarming. That's what they've done. And not because we're upset about the queen, in this case, Trump. It's because we know this is an abuse the likes of which we've never seen. We all understand it. Everyone who is of sober mind and not a hyper-partisan wacko understands what this was yesterday. It was unprecedented. I know this because yesterday Andrew Yang and Andrew Cuomo, folks, Andrew freaking Cuomo of New York, maybe one of the biggest arch enemies of Donald Trump's ever, a guy that was once thought to be the Democrat nominee before Biden to take on Trump for a second term. This guy said DOJ better have the goods. because this looks really bad. Andrew Yang, same thing. This looks really bad. In fact, let me try to find his... I wasn't planning on talking about this right now, but let me see if I can find their tweets quickly, because this was pretty remarkable. There was an entire thread from Andrew Yang yesterday. Do I have it? Bear with me here. Andrew Cuomo said, DOJ must immediately explain the reason for its raid and must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it will be viewed as a political tactic and undermine any future credible investigation and legitimacy of January 6th investigations. Well, legitimacy of this committee went away long ago, Governor Cuomo. But this is a guy who now feels persecuted by his government. So he now has a little sympathy. He was railroaded, and now he's starting to feel... And by railroaded, I don't mean he's a sympathetic figure, but I mean he feels that he was unjustly tossed. So now he's offering a sympathetic ear here. DOJ must immediately explain the reason for its raid and must more than it must be more than a search for inconsequential archives. Andrew Yang had an interesting assessment. I'm no Trump fan. I want him as far away from the White House as possible, but a fundamental part of his appeal has been that it's him against a corrupt government establishment. This raid strengthens the case for millions of Americans who will see this as unjust persecution. He then tweets a Politico article and lifts this quote. If they raided his home just to find classified documents he took from the White House, one legal expert noted, he will be reelected president in 2024, hands down. It will prove to be the greatest law enforcement mistake in history. That's from Democrats Andrew Cuomo and Andrew Yang. Yesterday, Sloppy Choppers, the ambulance chaser, Chuck Schumer, and Grandpa all got together, ran over to the White House, and acted like nothing happened. Did you see this? The political optics of having a big bill signing or whatever the hell they were doing in the midst of this excrement storm, as though they didn't know what was going on. Hey, what are you talking about? That raided Mar-a-Lago. I don't know anything about it. Sloppy Choppers all over TV yesterday. Did you see her just, I mean, she was particularly sloppy yesterday. The tongue, she was salivating, literally. She was so excited, pretending she wasn't excited, pretending she knew nothing of it. Chuck Schumer, these three. At the big signing ceremony at the White House yesterday, acting like, oh, is something happening in Florida? Why, we didn't know anything about it. We had this big celebratory signing ceremony scheduled for today. Why, I hope this raid at Mar-a-Lago we knew nothing of doesn't interrupt our fun today. We just happened to have a big legislative celebratory session planned for today. Gosh. This Mar-a-Lago thing might just rain on our parade a little bit. As if. I don't think they know what they've done here. Literally, they know, of course, what they've done, but I don't think the ramifications of what they have implemented have hit them quite yet. And you can tell from the reaction. You can tell people screeching, like Scarborough, who I'm not going to play because I loathe. But this is so petty and personal to Joe Scarborough. He hates Donald Trump so much personally. Just like Liz Cheney. They are so personally invested in their hatred of Donald Trump. They keep screaming into cameras that they're the just Republicans. They're the fair-minded Republicans. They're the law-abiding Republicans. And that anybody that stands with Trump basically is standing with law-breaking. And when people warn that they'll do this to you and they'll come for you. Well, yeah, they'll come for you if you break the law. It's like all of this conversation about the IRS and the new 87,000 IRS agents. Have you noticed this? This question keeps coming up. 87,000? How many billionaires are there in the country? Have you ever looked that up? How many billionaires are there? There aren't 87,000 billionaires. There isn't I don't remember the last number. There aren't 1,000 billionaires. I think there are a few hundred. Maybe 100. I don't exactly remember how many billionaires. But they're trying to make it sound like, oh, we're just beefing up the IRS because they're going to go after the rich tax cheats. Are they, though?
This Google's saying 614 billionaires.
614 billionaires. That's a lot less than 87,000. Okay, so 600 billionaires we've got covered in spades with 87,000 new IRS agents. That's
so.
Plenty for others to go around. Listen, anybody that didn't object to this raid on Mar-a-Lago, anyone who did not raise their hand and say, I don't think we should do this, I don't think this is necessary, this is unprecedented, anybody who doesn't understand that this isn't about obeying the law, this is about lawlessness. Worst case scenario, and by the way, we're going to hear from some more great legal minds today, like Harmeet Dhillon. And I'm going to ask her to get creative. And I'm going to ask her to tell me, just put on your Democrat hat for a minute, and I want you to pretend as an attorney. I want you to just get down in the mud, and I want you to paint the ugliest possible picture to justify what happened yesterday. And I can probably bet that as creative as she can get, she's still not going to be able to get you to a raid on a former president's home was justified, or that this total break with precedent was justified. I have yet to hear a single legal scholar that I respect on the left or the right. I've yet to hear a single one of them say that this made any sense or that this was justified in any way. Everyone knows if this is about classified documents, you subpoena classified documents. We believe you're in possession of X. We need these back, and we need it by this date certain, this time certain. Or then we come knocking. Then lawyers comply. Do you know that there have been, I don't think this really, I'd heard this, and I kind of let it go in one ear and out the other because of my outrage yesterday. Do you know that Trump has been welcoming agents into Mar-a-Lago for weeks? Do you know that FBI have come to Mar-a-Lago and rooted through all of his effects from the White House? They apparently, you know, government services comes in and boxes up everything. This was a point that I heard Hannity make correctly. You think Trump is actually packing up the boxes? I mean, this isn't like he's moving from his, you know, three-bedroom ranch. I mean, just shut up. Like, the people, I love this idea that Trump himself is going, ooh, here's a file. We better stick that file in that box over there, honey. Melania, you know, like lifting things. It's not, wealthy people don't pack themselves, folks. The president of the United States doesn't pack up the White House. He doesn't get out newspaper, start wrapping up the vase. Stop, just stop it. So teams of people come in and within hours throw everything together and put it in crates and they ship it to Mar-a-Lago. And apparently at Mar-a-Lago, there has been a secure area locked away full of papers and personal effects from the White House that are basically just under lock and key. Trump hasn't even gone through. You know what it is to move. I can't imagine moving a president. You know what it is to move your home? You then, you know, you take all these boxes, you pack everything up, you put it in a garage, you know, or an attic or a basement. You don't get to it for months, maybe a year. Then you wonder, why the hell did I ever move all this stuff? I can't imagine all the paperwork that a president must have. So he's got all this stuff locked away somewhere in Mar-a-Lago. Hired yesterday, the FBI's been calling up his attorneys going, hey, we want to look through some of that stuff you guys took to Mar-a-Lago. Okay. And so they come in. I guess back in June, there was a big bunch of FBI guys. And they come whistling into Mar-a-Lago, and he says, down there, boys. And they go in, they open up the thing, they're sifting through papers for hours. And Trump walks down there at one point, and he actually even greets the FBI. Hello, fellas, how you doing? Welcome to Mar-a-Lago. Everybody comfortable? Need anything? Anything I can get you? Literally talked to the FBI agents, welcomed them in. They had full access.
The only thing I'm missing from that story is I wish he had Big Macs for him.
You know? Right. That's right. But when I heard, not that it surprises me, but when I heard that they were completely hospitable to the FBI, they've been friends. Trump's been down there welcoming them, high-fiving them, shaking their hand, probably posing for photos. He's been cooperative. They've been in his home. There was no need for this raid. This was a show. This was a show raid, just like, and the fact that the media knew about it, the fact that the media was reporting on it with such clarity, what they believed was behind it, tells you this wasn't anything but planned showmanship, and it wasn't necessary. And if he's in possession, I remind you again, if he's in possession of something classified, a simple subpoena was all that was required, and his attorneys would have said, okay, here. So any Democrat that signed off on this is just as responsible as anybody who participated, just so you know. Democrats are coming for you with the IRS. Democrats approved this raid. They didn't object. Democrats all own this. Every Democrat must own this. Every Democrat must go on record. He or she must sign off on this or say, no, this was too far. Andrew Yang, Andrew Cuomo, they're obviously suggesting this was unnecessary and this was too far. All Democrats must go on record and go on notice about this raid, and they must be made to explain. And if they support it, they must be defeated. The Democrat Party is going after the Bill of Rights as we know it. That's the transformation that Barack Obama started, and he's continuing with his third term with the pretend husk as president. The judge who signed this warrant, have you heard about him? Let me see here. I believe I have it. Hang on. Sorry, I've got a lot here in front of me today, folks. Yes, here it is. The federal magistrate judge who signed off on a search warrant authorizing the FBI raid of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, donated to Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign months after he left the local U.S. attorney's office to rep employees of convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, who received immunity in the long-running sex trafficking investigation of the financier. Sources tell the New York Post, Judge Bruce Reinhardt approved the warrant that enabled federal agents to converge at Mar-a-Lago. Reinhardt elevated to magistrate judge in March 2018 after 10 years in private practice. That November, the Miami Herald reported that he had represented several of Epstein's employees, including, by Reinhardt's own admission to the outlet, Epstein's pilots, his scheduler. His scheduler, by the way, Epstein once reportedly described as his Yugoslavian sex slave. Two of these people that this judge represented were Epstein's lieutenants granted immunity as part of a controversial 2007 deal with federal prosecutors that allowed the pervert to plead guilty to state charges rather than federal charges. Epstein wound up serving just 13 months in county jail and was granted work release. So this disgusting, lecherous judge, Bruce Reinhardt, that signed off on this unconstitutional raid of a former president on Monday, he was part of that deceptive, devious pedophile and his entourage skating. He was part of that. He arranged that. So this is one of the more disgusting individuals. Republicans need to start the ad campaign today. You know, I was glad to see Dr. Oz and Doug Mastriano ripping into this yesterday. Republican candidates for Pennsylvania governor, U.S. senator, harsh words on Tuesday about the FBI's search of Donald Trump's Florida home. Oz, running against Fetterman, reacted on Twitter, "America is bitterly divided, and what President Biden's FBI and DOJ did last night will only make things worse. Americans have every right to be upset and demand answers on why this raid happened and the most aggressive action taken against a former president ever in our nation's history." Glad Oz addressed it. That's good. Mastriano appeared on Newsmax, talked about the FBI search, described it as a raid. "I'm very concerned about the direction of our country. You know, we've all had suspicions about the mobilization of our justice system here, and it's clearly happened before our eyes. Mastriano charged the justice system as being used as a hammer to batter political opponents. Every candidate, by the way, yesterday, Tim Michaels in Wisconsin, the Trump-backed candidate. Now, all of this was going on as Wisconsin was having a huge Republican primary fight. And it all came to a head yesterday. Wisconsin Republicans went to the polls. It was a battle between the former lieutenant governor, endorsed by Scott Walker, and Mike Pence, and all kind of the traditional Republicans, all got behind this woman called Rebecca Clayfish, former lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. Tim Michaels is a construction magnate of some kind in Wisconsin. Trump endorsed him. So yesterday, the people of Wisconsin, the Republicans voted in Wisconsin yesterday against this backdrop, mind you. So they woke up and went to the polls yesterday morning to cast their vote for who they'd like to go forward as governor of Wisconsin, their nominee to take on that left-wing lunatic that currently runs the state, Evers. Guess who the people of Wisconsin have chosen? The Republicans of Wisconsin. Now, remember, yesterday was the big raid, or I should say Monday. So Tuesday morning, on Election Day in Wisconsin, everybody woke up to Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago being raided. And yet, the Washington Post late last night, grousing, damn it, Tim Michaels won. Weird. Another Trump-backed candidate won. Another one. It's weird, isn't it? Republicans don't seem to be backing away from Donald Trump at all. Even on the day that this news breaks as a national story and Trump's home is being raided, he must be guilty of something. Republicans in Wisconsin ran out and supported the Republican Trump backed in their gubernatorial primary yesterday, and he won. Tim Michaels. Met the guy, by the way, as an aside. Just met him a couple of weeks ago. I was at a totally unrelated Parents' Choice rally. He was the only one that showed up. He had just had a debate the night before with two other Republican candidates. He showed up in this ballroom in a hotel, unannounced, uninvited, heard about the event. He and his team showed up. They weren't able to stay because they were on a tight campaign schedule. But he showed up, and he was plugged in, and he was engaged on parental choice. His team felt it was important enough to show, and he did. And I was impressed. I actually said at this event, I wish I had tape of it. I said, hey, not for nothing. We're not here as a political rally. But I wanted to acknowledge that last night was a huge Republican primary debate. Saw them all three on statewide TV. I was watching them in the hotel. No kidding. The night before. Here we are tonight, and one of them decided to show up today for our little rally here for Parents' Choice and School Choice. Tim Michaels. I told the crowd, I said, look, I'm not a Wisconsin voter. I have no skin in the game here, but not for nothing. I took my picture with him just in case he wins. And I did.
Nice.
So he wins. I mean, I brought it up to the room. I go, this is pretty impressive that the guy took the time to address this with us. And so he wins last night. And my point is, if this is all supposed to sully Donald Trump and the voters' relationship with Donald Trump, like hell it does, it emboldens it. I told you yesterday, my wife, who didn't care a little bit about Donald Trump being reelected or coming back to the scene, in fact, didn't really want it, lamented it, has said to me often, he's not running again, is he? Can't we move on? Isn't there someone new? I know that ticks some of you off. I don't care. You'd be lying to yourself if you didn't understand that a lot of Republicans feel that way. They want to move on. They're tired of Trump. And I'm telling you that this raid has changed the game. This raid on a former president's home has changed the game, and it's made a bunch of ambivalent people who didn't really even care about Trump all that much, maybe voted for him the first time just because they weren't going to vote for her. Now they're mad, white hot mad. And now they wouldn't mind seeing him as the nominee, and they wouldn't mind casting their vote again just so he can go settle scores. Because smart people all realize this is not about him. This is about all of us. We're all now on notice. So start the ad campaign today, Republicans. I want to know who's leading messaging in the Republican Party, because here's what I'd do. And I will give Turning Point USA credit here. They have figured out something that the Republican Party doesn't seem to yet figure out. You know what they're doing? They're taking the most significant messenger in the Republican Party today? Who is it? Who's the most significant messenger in the Republican Party today?
My man, Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. Turning Point USA has brilliantly gone to him and said, we need you in some really critical swing state races. We need you. You're the guy. So I will give Turning Point all the credit in the world. They've partnered with Ron DeSantis, and what are they doing? They're dispatching Ron DeSantis to critical swing states, like Pennsylvania. He's going to be doing a rally with Doug Mastriano. He's going to be doing a rally with J.D. Vance in Ohio. I'd raise $50 million. I'd hand it over to Ron DeSantis' team right now and ask them to develop and execute an ad campaign targeting the Democrat Party. Use the most effective, efficient communicator to design and deliver an official Republican response to this outrage on Monday. He's the man to do it. He's the best communicator in charge of explaining what's happening to a national audience that may not yet fully understand it. You understand the list of terribles. I understand the list of terribles. A lot of the country does not yet still full understand. So we have to give the ball to our best player here in Ron DeSantis, I believe. We're going to talk more about this, but a lot of people are coming around to the idea that this raid is, of course, about January 6th. Julie Kelly believes this raid is about January 6th. Megyn Kelly believes this raid is about January 6th. Megyn Kelly letting some expletives fly on our podcast yesterday. She said, this is excrement. Bull excrement, she said, only she said the word. Andrew C. McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, said this is bull excrement. They all know it's about January 6th. It's about building a case for indictment. And as a side benefit, by the way, Democrats get to do some opposition research by combing through everything they want. Remember, they didn't target anything specific. They didn't go in there looking for anything specific. They just grabbed everything. The attempt to build a case means the raid was a fishing expedition. Americans who care about civil rights and the rule of law and due process have to abandon the Democrat Party right now. So the judge who issued the warrant for this raid represented Jeffrey Epstein and the defense of Epstein's team. He's contributed to the Obama campaign. He's contributed to the low energy, please clap Jeb Bush campaign. We all know, of course, the media will always and eternally be sympathetic to the Democrat Party. Should Biden, Obama, and their regime be given any benefit of the doubt when Pepe Le Pew and the rest of them stand up there yesterday and say, what raid? What's this? Why? We're finding out about it just like you. Should they be given the benefit of the doubt? Anyone who supports the Democrat Party supports bare-knuckled authoritarianism, just so you understand that. You're the authoritarian, you're the fascist, and you support it. If you're a Democrat and you support these people, that's what you're supporting. The Democrat Party is nothing more than a mob with power right now to put you away and take everything you own. And if we don't fight back, we lose. This is a time to choose. If Democrats can accuse Kavanaugh of rape, I think we can certainly assert that this judge that issued this warrant, we can accuse him of partisanship and corruption. The rules are, as I understand it, anyone can not only accuse judges of criminal behavior without evidence, but can also protest outside their homes without police interference. I mean, aren't those the rules? The pedophile defending judge? Be interesting to look under his hood, wouldn't it? Just saying. So these are the rules. This is the state of play, folks. We'll get some more expert analysis today. By the way, anybody believing that it's just the billionaires, the 87,000 new IRS agents are coming after, given this raid on Monday, you believe that? Steve Moore will be with us to talk about it as well. really remarkable is the American left so hates Donald Trump. They're so obsessed with their hatred for Donald Trump. The left thinks this raid is about Trump. The left thinks this is about a man. The left thinks that you're mad about this, I'm mad about this, we're upset, we're alarmed about this because of a man. And they're happy about it because of a man. What an unbelievably stupid, short-sighted way to see this. What an ignorant, foolish, destructive, scary way to view what happened on Monday. That you think this has anything to do with Trump, and that you think that any of us that are alarmed and angry about this has anything to do with Trump. We see this as injustice. We see this as unprecedented. We see this as a government that has already greatly abused its authority over the American public over the last couple of years, and this took it to an all new level. And we worry, we sane Americans who aren't hyper lunatic partisan and aren't full of love or hate for Donald Trump, but rather love of our country and love of our Constitution, sane Americans know what this means for the rest of us. It's not good. You do not raid former presidents' homes for documents. We don't do that in this country. I would say that if hypocrisy doesn't stick and it doesn't even matter. Can you imagine Donald Trump and his Department of Justice? Can you imagine Bill Barr ordering a raid of Joe Biden's home prior to 2020? Or a raid of Barack Obama's home? Can you imagine Donald Trump ordering a raid of Hillary Clinton's home? Can you imagine it? Just imagine it. Here's what I know. Jeff Sessions, his first attorney general. Bill Barr, his second attorney general. Matthew Whitaker, his interim attorney general. Those men would never have ever agreed to raid any of those people's homes that I just mentioned. They would never have agreed to it, even if Trump wanted to do it. And I have to tell you that if Trump ordered a raid of Hillary Clinton's home, it would to put it mildly, it would have been a very bad look. And as much as I believe Hillary Clinton is a crook, and she is, and there's ample evidence of it, it doesn't take a raid to establish that. We all know out in the wide open what they are. We have evidence that these people are crooks without raiding their home. We had it when Trump was president, and we had a DOJ that didn't do anything to them while they had ample evidence out in front of them. Didn't take a raid. There's no evidence of criminality here as they try to persecute Trump for a third time. They've twice impeached him. And now they're trying to make sure that he's criminally convicted somehow, and they're going to move heaven and earth to make it happen. This is out of bounds. This is out of line. This is frightening. Anybody who's been targeted for an IRS audit can speak to it. That's a microcosm of this, but it's the same principle. Anyone who lost their job or was threatened with losing their job because they wouldn't take a shot can speak to this. I bet I could open the phones and let any number of Americans tell you stories of horrors, of abuses of government, being under investigation, being audited, whatever, what have you. The federal government targeting you, causing you to lose your income, lose your living. Force your business to comply with certain things that you don't agree with or else lose your lucrative government contract. This is a government that has grown far too big, far too aggressive, has contempt for you and me, is trying to make you subservient to it. And sane, reasonable people recognize it, whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. sane, reasonable people know this was too far by a lot on Monday. And short-sighted Democrats who hate Donald Trump so much, they're so giddy and gleeful at the prospect of him being locked away for some unknown crime that they have convinced themselves he's committed, though they can't articulate what it is or actually explain what it is. They're just confident he belongs in handcuffs. So they're just giddy. They're excited at this raid. And then when we say, this is outrageous and we're furious, they say, ooh, I'm scared. And they mock you and they chide you like you're the one who's flawed in your thinking for being upset and outraged and alarmed at this. They're happy. You're alarmed. And they think it's funny that you're alarmed. And I say to those people, you are so misguided. You're so foolish. You're so short-sighted and stupid. Don't you understand how this fundamentally transforms this country and makes all of us targets? How now we're all subject to this kind of abuse? Don't you understand you're not special just because you play for the right team right now, because your team's in power and you cheer for the let's go get Trump team? Don't you understand how dangerous this precedent is? Are you so small and short-sighted that the laws of this country don't apply or matter anymore when it comes to Trump? You hate him so much that you're willing to turn our government into an authoritarian state? Well, you follow the law and you don't have to worry about it, they say smugly. Follow the law and you don't have to worry about it. I see. And what law did Trump break? Well, he stole documents. Do you know that? Do you know he stole documents? Well, if he's in possession of documents, he shouldn't be in possession. Okay, but you keep saying that, and I keep asking you, throughout history, there have been many figures who have been in possession of documents they shouldn't have been in possession of. Were their homes raided over it? Has this ever happened? When Alan Dershowitz says you issue subpoenas for documents that you believe are germane to something classified that you want back, you issue subpoenas, and then the person on the other end of the subpoena says, okay, sorry, here's the documents. That's the way it works in this country. You don't kick in people's doors and raid their personal effects. You don't take their safes. You don't just indiscriminately start gathering up everything in their home. My gosh, folks, this is a president of the United States. Who are you? Who do you think you are? What chance have you? I mean, what chance have any of us of any kind of legal defense from this kind of abuse if the former president of the United States can't be respected and can't stop it? And it's just sad how short-sighted. There are so many Trump haters. They're so small. They're so obsessed with Donald Trump, they can't see it. But as usual, real Americans who care about rights and the Constitution will continue to fight, even if they're too small and petty to see it. Let's go to Allentown, talk to Victor. Hey, Victor, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you today?
Good. I got a question for you. In light of everything that has occurred, especially yesterday, do you believe that Washington, D.C., the swamp, reflects the values of most of the American people?
No. That's a definitive hard no.
Okay. I had an idea. And maybe Donald Trump is listening to you this morning and he can hear this. I believe we should move the White House out of the swamp. I believe we should relocate the White House to flyover country, where a lot of value-oriented Americans live, thrive, and work. Maybe places like Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. And I don't say putting them in the city. Put them out in the fields. Put the White House in flyover country, and then move Congress to the same place. Donald Trump is the only, and I'm 71 years old, he's the only president I know that even came close to trying to drain the swamp. I don't know even if Donald Trump gets reelected or runs, if he's going to be able to do it. What do you think of that? What do you think of that idea?
Well, what do I think of moving Washington to the Midwest?
Well, the White House. The White House.
The White, yeah.
And then Congress.
Well, I guess there's no, I mean, it, you know, as a structural matter, I guess it could be moved anyway. Do you think there would be wide national support for it?
I truly believe it. I believe that what has occurred in the swamp.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Victor. Hang on just a second. Yeah, let me ask you, why do you think geography plays a part in how these people see their role in your life and my life?
I believe that the swamp, Washington, D.C., and this didn't happen overnight. This has happened in decades. There's so much influence there. There are so many people in place there that are untouchable. That we as Americans, we don't have the way to, because they're embedded. They're not electable people. They are there. And D.C. itself does not reflect, I feel, the basic values of the American people. I think D.C. reflects the Democratic Party, the power brokers, the propaganda people in media. That's what D.C. reflects today. Put it out in the Midwest. Put it around people that work for a living hard, work the land. Put it out in flyover country. And I truly believe that would make a difference.
Well, the thing is, as you know, with every blue city that's run poorly and people flee it and they move to the outskirts and the surrounding areas of their city, what ends up happening to the surrounding areas of the city? See Chester County, Montgomery County, Delaware County for more, right? Yeah. Victor, I appreciate the call. My point is, if you don't culturally change the corruption, if you don't culturally drain the swamp will just pack up and move. It's like my grandmother used to say when I was a little kid. And I used to say, boy, I can't wait till I'm this age and I move here and everything's going to be great. And she used to say, doesn't matter where you go, you always got to take yourself with you.
Ooh, I like that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I've carried that with me my whole life. Doesn't matter where you go, you got to take yourself with you. So unless you fundamentally change who you are and what you are operationally, meaning the swamp, unless you truly drain the swamp will just pack up and follow. So the swamp can easily manifest itself in central Montana. Montanans don't want anything to do with that. I mean, speaking of Montana, leftists are flooding into Montana. Beautiful place. Yellowstone's to blame, I suspect. But no, like, conservative play. I don't think anybody, I'll speak for people on behalf of my brothers and sisters in the Midwest. I don't think any Midwesterners want that culture coming to their towns or their state.
Please, no.
You know what I'm saying? So, oh. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. I do, Victor. I'm not dismissing you. I truly understand what you're saying. But this is a cultural problem, not a geography problem.
More of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
You want a little silver lining out of this mess? Trump shatters fundraising records yesterday. Donald J. Trump shattering all fundraising records, has raised more money in the past 24 hours than ever before. The American people are pissed, says Eric Trump. More than three dozen federal agents to send to Mar-a-Lago, blah, 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 as well. Just hours after Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate was raided, he posted a new ad on his social media. Trump supporters are more than pissed off. You can support President Trump, and they issue a link. Trump's fundraising is through the roof. And
this is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
You are a role model for the rest of the media. You really do investigative reporting and informative interviews.
I absolutely love your show.
Chris, greetings from the bright lights of Cherry Hill.
Fundamental change is taking place today, politically, economically, and technologically. Change that can either strengthen our sense of control and security, of dignity and pride in our lives and our nation, or change that weakens us, so the people are left behind, causing them to question whether or not the very institutions, our economy, our democracy itself, can still deliver for them, for everybody.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
She is a great friend and one of the, I think, clearest thinkers. When you have a Department of Justice that's been riding herd over justice and the American public for some time, she has been a stalwart. She has been sort of a port in a storm. When a lot of other people are distracted with a lot of other things, she continues to be kind of a true north on this particular subject of an activist Department of Justice. This raid of Mar-a-Lago comes as no surprise, I'm sure, to the great Julie Kelly, senior writer at American Greatness. She's at Julie_Kelly, the number two, on Twitter. So, Julie, I haven't spoken with you yet about this raid at Mar-a-Lago, but as I said, I, as a student now of this highly corrupt DOJ, I'm sure, in fact, I think I read a tweet from you that said, I told you this was coming.
I love saying I told you so. You can ask my husband and my daughters. It's one of my favorite things to say.
Yeah. And you did, I guess, huh?
Well, I mean, I've been saying for months that this DOJ, I felt 99.9% confident, I feel 100% today, that they will end up indicting Donald Trump related to what happened on January 6th. And what they're doing, Chris, is they are now creating optics and expectations that they have to fill. Their base is rabid to see Donald Trump in handcuffs and prevent him from running for office again. So this is just part of their long game, obviously working with the January 6th committee and their performances, and then the ongoing criminal trials of January 6th protesters. This all is directed at finally getting Donald Trump in handcuffs after, 6 years of trying.
Will they succeed? I mean, I'll just cut right to the chase. Are they going to? Kurt Schlichter tells me that he's pretty confident they will get conviction on this thing. I've had others say they don't think it'll go that far. They just wanted the appearance. Where do you come down on it?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a DC District Court judges who act as nothing more than a rubber stamp for this DOJ, including judges who Donald Trump appointed. In some cases, they're worse than the Democrat judges, believe it or not. You are going to have a DC grand jury made up of the same sort of people who are on regular juries, who have now, I mean, this DOJ is undefeated in front of DC juries related to January 6th trials. These juries are returning guilty verdicts in record time on every single count, on every single defendant. So this is the, you know, this is going to be a jury poll made from a city that voted, 93% for Joe Biden. They will be honored to indict him and then convict him. So there's no doubt that if this D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves is the one who would bring the indictments, that Donald Trump, if he does go to trial, that he will be convicted of whatever charges they trump up against him.
Is this ultimately why they went with agents out of that field office as opposed to down in Miami? I don't quite understand how it would work. I mean, if they did this out of Florida, does that mean a trial would have to be held in Florida?
No, because the investigation is in Washington, D.C.
Oh, it's a federal. Yeah, sure. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So even though a Florida judge, district court judge, and, you know, FBI agents out of that office conducted the raid, the investigation is out of D.C. And it will be, you know, that he took classified documents. Allegedly, this is what we're being told. Of course, the warrant is under seal, so no one can see it. But this all goes back to the January 6th investigation. We know that Mike Pence's chief of staff and also Pat Cipollone have already gone before this federal grand jury investigating Donald Trump. So this is related to that.
They keep saying that this is not related to January 6th, that this is about him possessing classified documents the National Archives says they wanted and he won't hand over. But you think that that is ultimately, I mean, I've actually heard people saying, no, it's not January 6th related. You think it obviously is, though?
It all is, because it all goes back to the National Archives and getting all of his records related to January 6th. So what happened was Joe Biden refused to give Donald Trump executive privilege for testimony and for records. That's why the National Archives are getting these documents a lot sooner, releasing them a lot sooner than normal. So I believe that this is all related to January 6th. And I mean, look, they can make up any reason. This is all optics, though. Yeah. Doesn't really matter what they say the purpose is. They're trying to make it sound legitimate. This is all part of the spin and creating this expectation and sort of justifying when they do bring criminal charges against him.
Liz Cheney, her primary is next week. She's going to get clobbered, undoubtedly. Dick Cheney cuts that bizarre kind of supervillain, ad last week. Liz will get justice. You know, it's such a weird, like, the promise that Liz is going to deliver something I found kind of ominous. It was, I mean, that right? I thought it strange that he kind of, Liz will. I was like, Liz is about to get her ass kicked politically. Like, she just is. It's not even arguable. From what place of strength have the Cheneys to stand there and say, no, it's coming. You just wait. Is this what that is? I mean, was this the gift from Liz Cheney before she gets shown the door?
I mean, I don't know how much directly she would be tied to what happened last night, but certainly she has also helped with all the spin and this really dangerous, destructive path that they're on, not just targeting Trump, but all of his supporters and voters. I mean, you talk to some of these January 6th defendants, especially the ones who are set to go on trial next month, and they will tell you how this January 6th committee performances, these primetime performances, are ratcheting up the hatred towards these people who were even remotely involved in what happened on January 6th. So, the Cheneys are horrible, horrible people. Liz Cheney is an absolute disgrace. Dick Cheney is the one who should be in prison somewhere for lying to the world about weapons of mass destruction and the death and destruction that the Cheneys are responsible for around the world. So it's just really galling to see what they're doing. But I don't think they realize the impact that they're having on real people's lives, not Donald Trump, but anyone tied to this January 6th persecution. This is very dangerous, and I mean highly dangerous. And we already have 3 January 6th defendants who have killed themselves because of what this DOJ is doing to them. And I've heard from others who say, I understand why someone like Matthew Perna killed himself. I've thought about it numerous times. So the Cheneys are evil people. But this is all their revenge to get back at Donald Trump for what he said about the Iraq war.
I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I don't want to speak for you, but I think you're a lot like Colonel Schlichter. Maybe like my wife, I mentioned to him, and I'll say to you, I put this up on social media. My wife, very ambivalent about Donald Trump. I mean, she voted for him, but didn't care if she ever saw his return again. And quite frankly, would prefer that he didn't return. I mean, was kind of over him and done and rearview mirror. Then this raid happens, and I'm not saying she's putting on a campaign button or something, but I am saying she is loaded for bear. She's white hot mad now. And I'm telling you, if Donald Trump were on a ballot, she'd walk over hot coals to go vote for him now. I saw, and I use her as my political weather vane because she's not in this like we are. She doesn't talk about this every day. She doesn't live it. She's got, kids to raise and other things going on. So I watch her and listen to her carefully. And her ambivalence turned to white hot anger yesterday. what do we do with that as a country? Because I know she's not alone. I know she speaks for millions of Americans who may have been ambivalent or ready to move on now. Now they're fighting mad on Trump's behalf. I don't know what that means. I mean, if they convict him criminally, as you say, I guess technically he can't run. And that kind of led me to the thought, well, maybe they're ready. Is it a Trump Jr. thing? And what are the politics of this ultimately? If it's not Trump and can't be Trump, maybe even, could it be Trump Jr.? I know everybody's excited about DeSantis, but it seems like now that this vengeance on behalf of Trump may be real.
Oh, I'm with your wife on that. I mean, my phone was blowing up last night from friends who, you know, are not highly political. You know, they voted for Trump. You know, maybe they're happy to see him go, but they were just like, you know, WTF, what is going on?
Scary.
And so
yeah.
There is a real, you know, this could really backfire. And you even see some Democrats and pundits today saying, whoa, this may not be the right way to get rid of Trump because this is going to backfire. And you've now enraged the base, which is already enraged about what's going on related to January 6th. But now it's time for the Republicans to step up. I know you and I've talked about this repeatedly. You know, you have texts or tweets by Kevin McCarthy saying, okay, you know, this is enough. Well,
yeah. Clear your calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not that convinced, but yeah. So, I mean, I would vote for Trump just to stick it to these people if he's convicted. I mean, it's unlikely a trial in DC with Trump would happen before Election Day. I mean, some of these trials are already 2 years out from the time a lot of these January 6th people were. I mean, the docket's pretty full, and I'm sure that Trump and his lawyers will use every maneuver possible, even to try to get it moved out of DC. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this all collides.
Do you feel, I mean, are you an optimist generally? Are you, you've been so immersed in this J6 just grossness, this. It's got to make you feel so dispirited. I mean, in a way, I think your coverage of the J6 folks has probably, again, I'm putting words in your mouth. You see Mar-a-Lago raided, and you probably sat there yesterday and went, well, of course Mar-a-Lago was raided. What are you all wound up about? It was probably your reaction.
It was my reaction. And then I thought of the 800 plus Americans, including elderly people, people whose homes have been raided at 5:36 a.m., terrifying their children, you know, seeing the red dots from FBI rifles on their wife's nightgown. I mean, I just went back and thought of all the horror stories I've heard of this corrupt, weaponized FBI. And I thought, well, you know, Trump got... At least Mar-a-Lago got the decent end of the FBI raid, because we're talking about...
Yeah, they weren't home, at least.
Exactly. And these are people who are home, right?
Yeah.
And this is an FBI bringing dozens of armed agents, SWAT vehicles, battering rams, knocking down the front door of Americans, some of whom are charged with nonviolent offenses. So those were the people, honestly, and I think I tweeted about it. Those were the people I was thinking about watching that.
Julie Kelly is at American Greatness. She's a senior writer there. She, read everything she writes and tweets. It's critically important. I'll let you go with this because I know you're very busy. This ends how, or does this end? I mean, do you feel bullish about the midterms? Can Republicans do much without a president? I always kind of like to try to find some sort of action item, or how does this end, rather than just feel like we're in a morass that won't end. Will it end or no?
Well, I mean, look, the Republicans now have to roll out a detailed plan what power they will use if they take Congress and the Senate back. And I think it starts with defunding, eliminating any federal funds for the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. That is festering sore in Washington, D.C. That is the problem. And that office has been doing nothing but going after and prosecuting, Trump officials. I mean, they are the ones who signed off on the warrants against Keener Navarro and Steve Bannon. I mean, that's all this office is doing. They need to shut that completely down, cut off federal funding. We don't need a Congress's own, you know, Democrats prosecutor doing what they're doing. But then they need to completely dismantle the FBI, and they also need to drastically cut funding for this Justice Department, because they are nothing. They're doing nothing at the border. They're doing nothing in urban areas to keep Americans safe. They're just rounding up Republicans. And so they really need a serious plan. My fear is that they won't do any of that, and instead they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden. What a waste of time. Oof. So Joe Biden is not the problem. We would be doing Democrats a favor getting rid of Joe Biden. So they need to focus on what the real poison is, the real danger, and that is this DOJ and this FBI, and especially this D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office.
Disband it. I think I heard Victor Davis Hanson or someone say it's time to just completely blow the thing up, politically speaking. Disband it, deconstruct it, disseminate it throughout government somehow. Is that it?
And look, today starts the second trial of two men charged with conspiring to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. We know that is a total FBI operation. And those are agents working out of not just the Detroit field office, but multiple FBI field offices. The rot is everywhere. It's not just at the top. It is festered in 56 field offices. It's time. The FBI needs to be eliminated completely. It's not salvageable.
You have been the Paul Revere on this issue well before Mar-a-Lago was raided. Julie has been jumping up and down on the sidelines, warning Americans of this day. And much worse days, as she reminds us, have been happening to just average Americans. So, Julie, thank you for your time and excellence and perspective as always. I'm so grateful.
Thanks for always having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
And it's you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. God bless the priest, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Host of The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson on Lindell TV and frankspeech.com. You can stream the show live and watch her and follow her on Getter, G-E-T-T-R. At Emerald Robinson is her handle there, at Emerald Robinson. And she's on Substack, too. Read everything she writes. She's got a huge Substack following, as a matter of fact. emerald.db3.substack.com. She has been a member of the White House press corps for a very, very long time, and now moving on to her own show. And I have just been itching to get her perspective on the events of Monday. I don't suppose they surprised you much, Emerald. I welcome you back. Were you surprised? You know, we were just talking to Julie Kelly about this. She wasn't the least bit surprised, given what she's followed with January 6th and the way that's unfolded and the way Americans have been treated. She's seen the ruthlessness of this DOJ. It barely raised an eyebrow to her. Good morning. How about you?
Not surprised in the least either. Though I have heard rumblings from, you know, sources in D.C. and DOJ, and it was pretty clear that Merrick Garland is serious about indicting Trump. This is their goal. This is what the January 6th committee is about, as I'm sure Julie said. This is what all the prisoners sitting in the D.C. gulag and pretrial detainment is what it's about. It's what the raid on Jeff Clark is about. It's what the prosecution of Steve Bannon for contempt of Congress is about. It's all about arresting Donald Trump. And you don't have to have sources to know that. You can just be paying attention. And they're going to go after more people, as we saw with Scott Perry, you know, congressman from Pennsylvania, actually, yesterday, as the FBI seized his phone to take a copy. And I'll tell you, they're finding other ways to go after other people, something I can't really go into detail about, but it's all a part to keep Trump from running again, or really, honestly, as also to just serve as an example, I think, Chris, for anyone who would dissent from the establishment, and that includes Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, I know it may not sound that profound to anybody, but I had to really kind of restate it today just for myself. That what are people on the left, you know, the trolls on Twitter, what are they cheering? What are they excited about? Rob Reiner, you know, oh, yay, they got Trump. what are they cheering? I asked myself. I say to myself, and I would, you know, if I could calmly ask them without them being lunatics, you know, what excites you? What are you cheering? Now, they will lie and say,
communism.
The law. It's about the law. The law was upheld. This is not a guy. First of all, you're not that excited about the law. Secondly, this is not a guy that's in power. He's not in power. So why don't you just be honest about what excites you? Your personal hatred for this man and the fact that millions of your fellow Americans voted for him and they haven't gone away and their excitement hasn't gone away and you can't crush or defeat that political enthusiasm, it worries you. It gives you anxiety. And so his persecution, his political persecution excites you because that's cutting off the head of a political snake you couldn't defeat on your own. That's what this is about. Like, just be honest that you're excited that a political side is being crushed. And that's what you want. This isn't about the law, for heaven's sake. Stop with the law.
Right. I mean, if the law applied, Hunter Biden, if there was equal justice under the law, and everybody keeps saying that, you know, Hunter Biden would be indicted, but we all know there isn't equal justice under the law, and that's okay with people like Rob Reiner. That's exactly what they want. They are communists through and through. And this is what the goal they've been pushing for a long time. And here is why Donald Trump is so scary to them, and particularly so scary to the D.C. political establishment. Because, look, they've been pulling the strings for a long time. They pretty much handpick based on, you know, we've learned a lot in the last few years. Pretty much anybody who gets in there is kind of handpicked, or at least when they get in, they have more control over them because they know dirt on them. They can bribe them. They have a whole bribery scheme going through the FBI for any kind of political figure so that they're controllable. Donald Trump was not controllable. And there was, and I've said this before, a spontaneous outburst of democracy in 2016 that we had not seen in this country in quite a while because they've been able to control the situation. And it took them by surprise. And you know what, Chris? They're bound and determined to not let that happen again. And that means extreme measures at this point, because as you learn more about our election processes and how things happened in 2020, people are wising up, and it makes it harder to pull that, even though they're trying in the midterms and in 2024. So they're pulling out all the stops, and that includes arresting Donald Trump. They could care less about the fallout. They're already preparing the narrative that people, Trump supporters, are calling for violence and there will be civil war. I'm seeing that. I've been sitting here watching CNN and MSNBC all morning, looking at social media, and they're laying the groundwork to also go after Trump, what they're going to call Trump supporters, but it's honestly anyone who is for the rule of law and speaks out, to be able to go after them as well. And it's a scary time.
Yeah. Yeah. CNN is full-blown. Anybody that opposes what happened is a conspiracy theorist today. They're already into that.
Or a domestic terrorist. They're taking it, but
right.
Beyond that, you're a domestic terrorist.
Yeah. No, it's you're right. It is scary, and it's so obvious that this is – well, let me ask you this. How much do you think of this was to goad the rest of us? How much of this is goading? How much of this is about getting Donald Trump versus just goading and poking and provocation? I maintain that this is also a – this is a government – the Democrats in this in power continue to, I think, poke Americans, average Americans, in the chest. Yeah.
I think it serves multiple purposes, clearly trying to get, you know, Donald Trump out of the way and trying to make him not be able to run. But as you said, to goad one side, what they see as one side of the political spectrum in order to be able to target them. And probably even, again, I keep hearing more and more sensible people. I mean, people and people who have worked in government. And people who are
Andrew Cuomo, yeah. Emerald, tweeted yesterday.
I'm saying that some of these people are now concerned based on what they saw this week. And these are not just conservatives. There are serious concerns that they're going to, cancel an election in November for some kind of crisis, whether it be monkeypox or, you know, something like that, that they're going to significantly changed the midterm because of it. And I had, you know, I heard people say that a few months ago, and I was very skeptical, I'll be honest, Chris. I'm like, that's taking it pretty far. you know, I don't see that happening. But now you have people that I respect sort of saying, well, I don't know. I think anything's possible at this point.
I know. And this is what the American left has driven so many Americans to. They are creating, they are stirring and fostering this instability, this lack of trust that's driving people to a place where they assume the worst at all times. And how can you blame anybody for it? But what's so interesting is when people say things like that, you know, you have CNN and others saying, look at that kook. Listen to those kooks. Listen to all this conspiracy theory, all this kookery. It's like they foment it, they foster it, they provoke it, and then they point to it and go, you kook. Why do you think that? Why do you say that, you kook? Like they poke it. It's the most brilliant gaslighting ever. They create they denounce it.
Well, that is exactly how they work, Chris, and it's the same with justifying investigations and raids on people's homes like Donald Trump. And I think that I was watching Laura Ingraham the other night, and Raymond Arroyo from EWTN, I think he's still with them, was on there. I thought he actually made a really great point. It gets to the heart of it, and it goes back to what we saw with Russiagate and the lack of predicate for that investigation. But what they based it on was the Mother Jones story, essentially, right? You remember that? And but it was like based on information, sort of information leaked to Mother Jones, and then they used that Mother Jones article to start an investigation, essentially. And Maggie Haberman did come out of nowhere this weekend, not looking like she should be on TV at all. It looks like she has been in her New York apartment and not been out, you know, for quite a while. I was a little bit shocked in seeing her. But she was out all weekend, remember, talking about this whole, like, showing pictures of the White House toilet bowl thing that Trump flushed notes and that could be classified information missing. So it's the New York Times reporting seems to be, you know, what is probably going to be used as the basis for all of this. And you see them always set it up in order to get the result they want. And CNN is so often a part of that. Maggie Haberman was on CNN all weekend long.
Number 61 here, Fast Eddie. Karine Jean-Pierre, Pepe Le Pew, the White House press secretary, and Peter Ducey had quite a back and forth yesterday. On the IRS agents, 87,000 IRS agents. You talk about bad timing if you're trying to sell something politically. You pass a bill with 87,000 new IRS agents and then raid the former president's home. Not great optics, to put it mildly. Ducey and Jean-Claude Van Damme, or whatever her name is, they go back and forth on this. Listen.
Who around here decided that Americans were crying out for more interaction with the IRS?
I don't understand your question. You have to say more.
Do you think it's going to be popular when the 87,000 new employees hired by the IRS go around and start auditing people to pay for the Inflation Reduction Act?
So it's very clear. The IRS commissioner was very clear on this. He said that on the record that this only will only apply to those earning over $400,000. The commissioner said, and I quote, "These resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans, as we have been implanting our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around Treasury directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000. So this is focus on those who are, you know, corporate wealthy tax cheats that Republicans, congressional Republicans, wanted to defend. That's who they wanted to defend. They wanted to defend those corporate tax cheats. This is not about that. This is not about folks who make less than $400,000.
So no new audits on anybody making under $400,000 a year.
Very clear. No.
Great. So I'm not asking you to comment on the Justice Department side of this, obviously, because I know your answer. But politically, is the president, who's the country's leader, is he confident that he has a plan to address the way that a lot of Americans, maybe even a very large number of Americans, are being told and may now believe that Donald Trump is being persecuted, that the deep state's coming after you, that the IRS and the FBI are corrupt, all this kind of stuff? This is really believed, apparently, by really a lot of people. He's the leader of the whole country, as he often says. Does he have a handle on this?
your question is still asking me to comment on what's happening, right? By me answering it is still asking me a question to comment on it. Oh, absolutely. So I'm going to stick to what I've been saying, is that this is a criminal investigation that's independent to the DOJ, and we leave any inquiry, any questions about what is happening to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's a remarkable line of questioning. That's a second question after Ducey's there talking specifically about the IRS, and she promises there won't be persecution or audits of anybody less than 400,000. But the follow-up question, whoever that guy was, it's an interesting point he makes. What responsibility has the President of the United States to speak to millions and millions of Americans who are confident you're coming for them? And she said, I have no comment. That's not exactly comfort-inducing, is it?
No, I mean, well, because, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And honestly, they could care less about optics, right? They really don't care about optics because they don't have any worry of repercussions. The media goes along with it. I'm actually surprised. I know I can't remember his name, but I know the guy who asked the question. I'm actually a little bit surprised because that is a good question, right?
Yep.
And he tends to be a hack as well, if that's who I'm thinking it is. So I'm surprised. But they're going to weaponize the IRS the same way we saw under Obama and at the behest of, you know, former Senator John McCain to go after Tea Party conservatives. I mean, everyone just as well to be ready. Every part of the federal government is weaponized under this administration.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this guy, this reporter says, "Whoa, you know, these millions of Americans that are being told, it's people like you, it's people like me. We're telling Americans to be afraid of these great, fine, above board institutions. Everyone should love and trust the government. If it weren't for people like Emerald Robinson and Chris DeGaulle getting on the air and convincing them and stirring them up with these conspiracy theories that the government was coming after them."
Well, then I misunderstood his question.
That's so how I heard it anyway.
But still, I mean, it is sort of like, why doesn't Joe Biden speak about it?
It is the broader point that there are millions of people that feel that way. However they got there, that's how they feel. So what's his role in addressing it? It is a point.
Yeah. But they don't feel they have to address it because they don't really care too much about optics, except for when they do have to try to trot him out to make him look like he's still alive, you know, for a la Weekend at Bernie's.
This is a totally naive thing I'm about to say. But I often think to myself, wouldn't it be nice to see any president, and I really don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, wouldn't it be nice to have someone say, we need to tone everything down a lot. We need to settle things down. There are a lot of Americans that think the government is coming after them. And I'm going to work hard or diligently or whatever. I'm going to do my best to disabuse you of that. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to feel like the president's on your side, is my point. And maybe half of this country is always going to feel at all times like the president isn't on their side. And isn't that sad, I guess?
Well, I suppose so. But, I mean, they don't. The Biden regime, which is really the Obama regime, just doesn't care.
No,
if people
they don't.
They want you to feel like they're not on your side because they want to be able to instill fear in you and fear
That's
of
right.
dissent.
Yeah, they like people on edge. They do. They like people on edge. It's sad. I don't know. I think about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton did not strike me as – now, granted, I was not as steeped in politics back then, so I don't know. Maybe those of you who are older and were around say that's a stupid, naive way to summarize this. But I don't remember the country talking about Bill Clinton as an enemy, even people that didn't like him. They didn't like his policies. They thought him a pervert or whatever. But times were pretty high. You know, he was an old, lecherous, sex-crazed guy. But he didn't seem like he wanted to tear the country apart. At least that was my perception. I don't know if other people felt that way about him that were older and around and paying attention. But Democrats didn't seem at one point in history like they were interested in destroying the country. They may have misguided policies, but they didn't want to destroy us.
It was a different situation for them then, okay? They hadn't fully taken over the institutions. You had to play a little bit of a different game. But now that they, after this is decades later, Chris, they own the institutions. They continue to quietly and slowly infiltrate them and overtake them, all the way from, you know, academia to the DOJ to, you know, even the National Endowment for Humanities, whatever. You know, they took over everything. And now they just don't have to worry about it because they can control you. They can take away your ability to speak. They can take away your money, basically. They can target you and make life miserable for you. So they don't need to play nice anymore.
That's right. Obey or else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Emerald Robinson, The Absolute Truth is the show. Watch it every single day. I hope you will. You can stream it on Getter and watch it live. Anything we should be watching for in particular? I mean, it's always a fabulous show, but anything in particular you'd like to call our attention
to? Today we're going to, I mean, clearly it's all about what's going on with Trump and now Scott Perry. So we'll have Liz Harrington on the show, the 45 spokeswoman, but we'll also have Jeff Clark, who is at the heart of this. And he's made a couple of appearances on Tucker, but he hasn't talked as much as we'll hear from him today. He was the one of the former assistant attorney generals over at the DOJ that Trump wanted to appoint as the acting in the last 2 weeks to possibly investigate election fraud. He had a whole plan to do it, and he just simply thought it should be done. And they are now busy making his life miserable, and they're using him as a stepping stone to get to Trump. So I think that's that'll be a pretty big interview today, and it'll be interesting. I know a lot about what went on during those days at the White House and DOJ, and how, you know, he was being considered for that position and the reasoning behind it. But a lot of people don't understand exactly what was going on then. It'll be interesting to get his take on everything that's happening this week.
Emerald Robinson, host of The Absolute Truth. Check it out. Get the app, right? That's one of the other great ways to watch it if you'd like, is to download the Frank Speech app. All right, Emerald, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris.
Talk next week. Telephone number 610-850-0990. Still to come, Steve Moore, our chief economic contributor. What does he think about 87,000 new IRS agents? Another bus carrying illegals arrives in New York City this morning. The press is swarming it. It's hilarious. I think that's brilliant. Pete Buttigieg on CNN this morning blaming the airlines. Frustration boils as airlines escalate cancellations. And Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, is blaming the airlines. Yep, they're just not coming along like they promised. As if they didn't create this. Again, government did this to the airlines. Government did this. They inflicted this pain on you and me. The government did this. So for all you Democrats, yay, they got Trump! They got Trump! Hey, self-censorship. Hey, guess what? Your flights are grounded. Your little trip to Cancun, you left-wing lunatic. It's because the government did it. Their little shot experiment wrecked the airlines. You get that, you moron? That's the government inflicting pain on you and me. We're both late to Cancun now. We're both going to miss our vacations because of it. Yay, they got Trump, jackass. Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. By the way, congratulations to Marsha in West Deptford, New Jersey. She was our winner of the Bob Spinato teeth whitening. You'll have a whiter, brighter smile in West Deptford, Marsha. Congratulations, courtesy of Dr. Spinato. Let's head to Deptford, not West. Is there an East and a West and a regular Deptford? I don't know my directions in Deptford.
Wow.
Is there just a West Deptford, Paul? What's Deptford versus West Deptford?
There is a West Deptford, which is west of Woodbury, and there is Deptford. And I think Deptford's one of the oldest towns in Gloucester County.
Okay, good. There's no East Deptford, though. I wouldn't want a war to break out or whatever.
One might break out anyway.
What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, I love what... Emerald said, but you got the lily-livered simps of McConnell and Thune and Tim Scott all saying, well, we got to go with the rule of law and take this easy and stuff like that. In the Senate, they may have to do that because there might be a 50-50 when this election's over. With the House, though, they should go after the low-hanging fruit, the Ilhan Omars for her immigration fraud, marrying her brother, tax fraud, go after Bang Bang with Fang Fang, sleeping with the enemy, going after DiFi for having a Chinese spy be her chauffeur for the past 20-some years. Hit these people hard. But the big hanging fruit, the Hunter Bidens, the Joe Biden crime syndicate, they need to wait till they have the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But they got to clear out the corrupt FBI and the DOJ and get the people in there who will apply the laws fairly and look at them fairly and rip these guys a new one.
Paul, thank you. I appreciate the call. You know, there are people on our side who will say, you know, the best thing for Republicans to do once they're in control is just to move on. Not exact revenge, not to settle scores, not to go prosecuting political, and just move on. There are those who say that. I know you're
shrinking. This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
I am a devoted listener every day, 3 hours, kids in the car, the whole thing.
Hey, good morning, Chris. I always love your show.
I just love your show. Just love it.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaul on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Pastor Eddie, can you, let's jip some Fox here. Fox News this morning has Rand Paul on the air, and I would just like to hear Rand Paul's comments on this raid yesterday. Here we go.
Do I think the Attorney General knew? Absolutely. I can't vouch for how far it went up, and they may have tried to keep the White House at arm's length, but I wouldn't be surprised if the White House knew. But I can tell you I'm not surprised with Christopher Wray. I've challenged him before on whether or not it's constitutional to allow foreign intelligence warrants to be used against Americans. You'll remember when they spied on Trump to begin with, it was a foreign intelligence court and warrant. This is not really the same constitutional standard as the Fourth Amendment. And so they don't have to prove probable cause. And it was a terrible thing that we allowed to happen in our country. And it should never be used against a Republican or a Democrat candidate. But he allowed that and agrees with that. So I'm not surprised that he also would allow something like this to happen. But this is, it's demoralizing for the country, and it takes away so much faith in our law enforcement to say, oh my goodness, they're going to use the FBI to go after people they disagree with politically. This is a sad moment for our country.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. But the thing is, I like to know what the warrant says, number one. Number two, I would like to know if does the Department of Justice understand it's in their best interest to start speaking out? They're overwhelming any message that you think Democrats want to talk about with these bills passing. This is smothering everything. Do you think it's incumbent on them, not hopeful, but do you think it's incumbent on them to speak out today or tomorrow and say, what were you doing?
Without question, I think the order to allow the raid on Mar-a-Lago on Trump's house has to be revealed. I think we have to know, you know, under what pretense do they think this is right. I think it's going to have to wait till November till there's a full investigation. And I've never been a fan of overusing impeachment, but I think there has to be an investigation. And if it warrants it, there's going to have to be a look at whether or not the attorney general has misused his office for political purposes. Have they gone after a political opponent? I mean, this is beyond the pale. No one would have ever imagined before that we would be using, or one political party would be using the FBI to attack their political opponents. No, this is really something that's going to require investigation, and I wouldn't be surprised if the investigation leads to abuse of power, that this could even lead to an impeachment of the Attorney General.
Wow. Right on. So that's Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky, live on Fox and Friends. Thought you might appreciate hearing from that. Look, the Democrat message is, of course, Rand Paul's exactly right. Don't you even think about protesting what we do. Don't you even think about objecting to what we're about. Don't you think about voting for someone as objectionable as Donald Trump. Don't you dare. Don't you think about it. We can riot. We can burn down cities. We can get what we want. We can do what we please. But if you so much as nominate a conservative to the Supreme Court, or if you object to the takeover of the federal government, we will destroy you. You will not audit elections. You will not count votes. You will sit outside and wait for the results at a safe distance. If you even hint that we cheated, we will censor and silence you. If you object to what we do, you will be audited. You will be raided by the FBI. You will be doxxed by the media, who will then smear you and your family. Got it? We're Democrats. We make the rules. You obey the rules. Got it? That's the Democrat way. You know, I had some people reaching out to me saying, Chris, you and Emerald talking about, you know, Clinton in the 90s and the media and the... I knew I was going to get into trouble even bringing this up. I didn't mean liberals didn't exist. I didn't mean liberals didn't run most institutions like the media. But Emerald's point was they hadn't permeated to the depth that they have today our institutions. There was still a thought that our institutions were governed fairly. There was still a thought that our institutions had principled people within them who would, in fact, who did, in fact, investigate a sitting president. You know, once upon a time, impeaching a president of the United States, and Bill Clinton was impeached, I remember it well, in the late 90s. The American public didn't care. The economy was roaring, and the American public rewarded Bill Clinton anyway. Bill Clinton was, the Democrat Party celebrated him anyway. They didn't care back then that he was impeached. And he lied about, you know, I mean, today when you look back at the Clinton, I romance it a little bit because it's kind of quaint. You know, what Bill Clinton lied about by today's standards is child's play. But again, my broader point was there used to, I used to feel, and maybe maybe some of you think this is naive. I understand that, you know, Rush Limbaugh came up in the 90s. I understand that Rush Limbaugh was actively going to battle with the media. The Democrats and the Democrat media, their strength and their dominance are what gave Rush Limbaugh the lane to become the huge successful presence that he was. And the 90s gave birth to conservative media as we know it. I understand that. I'm not romanticizing the fact that the American left hasn't always been present and always been destructive, and they've been metastasizing over the decades. But I'm saying that as I was coming up, as I got to vote for the first time, when I voted for Bob Dole as my first presidential election, and Bob Dole lost to Bill Clinton. Now, again, I was 18. I wasn't 45 with a family and paying taxes and all of that stuff. But I didn't get the sense, and I didn't get the sense from the adults around me who I know didn't vote for Bill Clinton. I didn't get the sense that they thought the government was coming for them the way I get the sense today. I don't know. Maybe that was youthful naivete. But I don't think I'm romanticizing or misremembering 90s Democrat rule. Democrats politically disagreed, but you would never have imagined George H.W. Bush's home being raided. Would you have? Could you have? You could never have imagined Bob Dole's home being raided. I don't know. And again, I that's just my point of view, folks. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying the tone and tenor of Democrats today, this governing authority today, is not the Democrat governing authority of the 90s. In my view, maybe I'm misremembering it. All right. 610-850-0990. Let's go to the phones here. Steve Moore is just around the corner, waiting patiently in Lansdowne. It's Tom. Hey, Tom, I'm glad you called. Welcome in.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you today?
Fine. Lighten your heart. I was listening to some other commentators, and they made up a point. Even if they convict Trump, he can still run because there's one little document that will allow him, and that's called the Constitution. The Constitution lays out what the qualifications of president are. And if you read it, doesn't say anything about being convicted, you can't run. And there's a couple of Supreme Court cases that ruled on that, I think. So,
as I had thought about it, just as a legal matter, Julie Kelly is the one that actually just sort of refreshed my memory on this. Just as a timing perspective, one could see how Trump could, if he wanted to, Trump could declare his candidacy and begin a campaign in earnest this year. Any kind of trial, any kind of criminal trial, it would be pretty unprecedented. But if anybody could pull it off, he could. Think about a guy running for presidency while under criminal indictment. Could he pull it off? Do you think this country would elect a guy who was up being charged criminally with something?
Sure, because they know that this criminal indictment is BS. But like I said, the Constitution is the only document that specifies the qualification of the president. If you look at the article that specifies, it doesn't say anything about you can't run if you're convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say anything about that.
So are you saying you want Trump to run?
I'm kind of conflicted. I think he was the greatest president since Ronald Reagan, but I don't know if he runs whether the turmoil will be so much that he can't get anything done. That's where I'm kind of conflicted, you know?
Do you think any Republican, I've heard this before, Trump's too much baggage, people hate Trump too much, Trump's too distracting. And I do kind of have to ask myself when I hear that, are we somehow under the illusion that Ron DeSantis is going to face less opposition?
Well, you might be right. I don't know. That's what I'm. But if he runs, I'll be right there fighting for him all the way. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I appreciate it. Ron DeSantis is going to face as much opposition. Now, here's the thing. Some of you I can hear maybe say, yeah, but Ron DeSantis' message is different. Ron DeSantis is perhaps more, if you want, nimble when it comes to opposing points of view. But I want to be clear here. Like, please don't, if you're a Republican and you're out there thinking, this was unjust what happened to Trump, but I still feel like Trump, you don't really think there's another Republican that Democrats will go, oh, okay, we're okay with him. Oh, okay, she's fine. Kristi Noem, she's fine. Ron DeSantis, he's fine. That's fine. We'll go easy on Ron DeSantis. We'll leave him alone. We won't try to politically persecute him because he's not Trump. Please don't fall for that. I know that if Rush Limbaugh were still alive, he would say the exact same thing. Don't buy into this notion that as long as it's not Trump, somehow media and Democrats are going to go easy on the next guy. That's stupid. We should all know better than that by now. Our chief economist is Steve Moore. He joins us each and every week. IRS, 87,000 new agents. Karine Jean-Pierre, Peter Ducey and Karine Jean-Pierre, Pepe Le Pew, our White House press secretary. They went 10 rounds on this yesterday. Here's a little of it, Steve-O, and I welcome you in. Listen to a little of this exchange that I would love to get your reaction to this.
Yep. Sure.
Who around here decided that Americans were crying out for more interaction with the IRS?
I don't understand your question. You have to say more.
Do you think it's going to be popular when the 87,000 new employees hired by the IRS go around and start auditing people to pay for the Inflation Reduction Act?
So it's very clear. The IRS commissioner was very clear on this. He said that on the record that this only will only apply to those earning over $400,000. The commissioner said, and I quote, "These resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans, as we have been in planning. Our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around Treasury directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000. So this is focus on those who are corporate wealthy tax cheats that Republicans,
That's
congressional Republicans, wanted
That's
to defend. That's
right,
who they want to
defend. You've heard enough.
she's loving.
Jump in.
I mean, we had a, sorry about that, but I've got my blood boiling now. Thanks, Chris. Because we had an amendment. The Republicans had an amendment on the Senate floor on Saturday when they had the big debate over this bill. And the Republicans had an amendment that said, okay, nobody who makes less than $400,000 should be subject to an audit under this procedure. And every Democrat, every one of them, including the Democrat there in Pennsylvania, Casey, and the two New Jersey senators, voted against that amendment. They, of course, they're going to be audit. They're not going to audit Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Zuckerberg. They have armies and armies of tax accountants and lawyers. They're not going to go after them. They're not going to go after General Motors and General Electric and Google, for goodness sakes. They go after the little guy. I think you may know this story, Chris, but I want to tell your listeners this because it's so relevant to this debate. You know, I was, when I was nominated by Donald Trump 3 or 4 years ago to be on the Federal Reserve Board, I had the media discovered I had a tax lien of something like $30,000 to $50,000. I don't remember the exact amount. And my wife and I had been fighting this tax lien for over 3 years, you know, and going to war with the IRS is no fun. Let me tell you that. And finally, we went to our tax attorney. We've spent paid a lot of money to, and he said, you know, we've gone over your records. You are in the right on this, Steve and Ann. You don't owe them money. In fact, they owe you money. But he said to us, you know what? My advice is just pay them. Just pay them because you're going to have to spend so much money to fight the IRS. It's going to cost you more than you're going to save. Well, wow. The kind of happy end of the story is, but that's what the IRS does, right? They have unlimited resources. Somebody like me or you, we don't have tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to fight the IRS. Well, we did fight them. We went through the whole thing. And 2 months after I had to withdraw from the IRS, Fed position, because you can't be on a federal commission if you have a tax lien. Something like 6 weeks later, we get a letter from the IRS saying, oh, whoops, you're right. We made a mistake. That's what they do. They go after people. They intimidate you, and they make it so painful that a lot of people, you know, I love this. All the Democrats are saying, oh, you don't have to worry. If you pay your taxes, you don't have to worry. BS. Yes. It doesn't matter whether you pay your taxes or not. Once the IRS comes after you, especially when they have 87,000 agents, you know, they're going to harass you and harass you. And I want to say one other thing. You got me going this morning, Chris. Did you know the IRS has spent millions and millions of dollars a year on weapons, on ammunition, on military-style types of things? I mean, why does the IRS need guns?
I have read that, and I will ask your question in response to that question with a question. Why do you think that is? Does that mean they're literally door-knocking, holding weapons? I guess that's what we're to assume.
I think so. I think in some cases they are, and that's part of the intimidation here. And when you hear these Democrats say, gee, if you pay your taxes, you have nothing to worry about. It's like saying, you know, you don't need your Miranda rights. If you're innocent, you don't have anything to worry about. That's what tyrants say, right? I mean, they are. And by the way, that bill that we're talking about, just so your audience knows, that is the bill that adds $700 billion more spending and more taxing to our economy, which is absolutely absurd. This is the worst bill ever. It is going to be a bill come to the House floor. I just talked to the House leadership. People should pay attention. We have to turn 4 of the 219 Democrats around on this. If we do, we can stop this horrible bill. So if you live in a district with a Democratic congressman or woman, contact them. This is important. This is a horrific bill. It massively increases our spending. It hurts our manufacturing. It hurts our coal industry. It hurts our steel industry. The big winners of this bill are going to be the Chinese and the Russians because it adds to our war against American energy. Why is anybody in Pennsylvania voting for this bill, Chris?
So if every Republican votes no and 4 Democrats flip, the House can defeat this bill.
We need 4 or 5, something like that, because they have you never know, because some are out, you know, some have COVID and stuff like that. But somewhere around 4 or 5, then we can stop this bill.
It's not that many.
219 out of 219. Come on. I mean, we can stop this bill. If you live in New Jersey, I know you have a lot of audience in the New Jersey area. New Jersey is the pharmaceutical capital of the world. Six of the top 10 pharmaceutical countries in the world are located in New Jersey. And yet the two New Jersey senators both voted against the pharmaceutical industry, which saves lives. Operation Warp Speed. How did we get the vaccine? It was because of our pharmaceutical industry. And now you've got people in New Jersey. You got these cops in New Jersey going to vote. That'd be like people in Ohio, I mean, in Idaho voting against potatoes, or, you know, people in Nebraska voting against the corn industry. It just makes no sense. We got to stop this bill. If you think inflation is bad now, by the way, Chris, don't you love it that they call this the Inflation Reduction Act? I mean, my God, they should go to jail just for false advertising.
It is. It's insulting. 87,000 new IRS agents. They will say, and I have heard it said. Now, I will be fair and say that I have heard from tax preparers. I've heard some people say, some CPAs and accountants and whatnot, that say it is just a nightmare, a clerical nightmare to deal with the IRS. They're inundated. They don't have help. A lot of it's automated. It's just a poorly run operation anyway.
It is. Chris, I have a solution to this. It's such an – and Steve Forbes, I don't know if you ever have Steve on your show, but Steve is a good, you know, friend. He's part of our Committee on Unleashed Prosperity. You know, he ran for president. Remember what his theme was when he ran for president in 1996? Do you remember, Chris? The flat tax.
That's right, the flat tax. And I know Ted Cruz ran on a similar – we just need a postcard, right, for our tax form. Yeah,
right. Now, so the solution to this, folks, is not to hire 87,000 more IRS agents. By the way, this stupid bill that I'm talking about adds thousands and thousands of more pages to the IRS tax code, making it even more complicated. We could have half as many agents as we have right now if we made it simple, understandable, comprehensible, fair, because you have to have voluntary compliance. It doesn't matter if they hire a million IRS agents. You need people to buy into the system. When people see how completely complicated it is, nobody understands it. You know, even the IRS people don't understand the code. That leads to more cheating. It leads, and sometimes, you know, you don't even intentionally cheat. You just don't understand what the rules are. So what I'm saying, wouldn't it be smarter, Chris, if you had a postcard return where you get rid of all the deductions, all the loopholes, all the special interest things, and then, you know, you just get a deduction for yourself and your kids and your spouse. You've got an 18% rate. Everybody pays their fair share. It's so simple. You wouldn't need this. So instead, they're making the tax system even worse. I've read this bill. There's hundreds and hundreds of new pages of, like, gobbledygook. The only people make money on this is tax accountants and lawyers and psychiatrists.
Lois Lerner was famous for targeting conservative groups who were supportive of the Tea Party. This is 87,000 new Lois Lerners, as I see it.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, people say to me, we're not going to politicize and weaponize the IRS. Oh, yes, they are. I mean, my God, folks, wake up. I just saw your conversation. Look what they did with Donald Trump two days ago. That was outrageous, an outrageous abuse of power by the Justice Department. We see it firsthand. The Biden administration has weaponized the Justice Department and the FBI. They will do exactly the same thing with the IRS, and they will use that to intimidate people like you and me who have conservative voices or Republican views. They go after their political enemies and intimidate them. And why are they doing that, Chris? Because they want to shut us up.
Steve Moore is our chief economist. You can't shut him up, no matter how hard you try.
Can't shut you up either. I don't care. They can put us in jail. I'll still do your show.
Atta kid. Amen. I love it. Steve-O, we'll see you next week in front of the bars or behind them.
Take care. See you later.
Good morning, Philly. This is Dennis Prager, weekday afternoons at 1 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now, here's Chris DeGaul.
She is one of our go-to voices, one of the most trusted voices in the legal community today, founder of the Dillon Law Group, Center for American Liberty. She's chair of the Republican Lawyers Association. We've talked with her a lot over the last couple of years. You've probably seen her frequently in specifically in the last day or so related to this raid at Mar-a-Lago. She's Harmeet Dhillon. And Harmeet, we're so grateful to have your perspective today. Hello.
Hi, happy to be here with you. Thank you.
This is sort of jaw-dropping. I struggle to really, I was said to a friend and my producer as well, I don't mean to be hyperbolic. I don't think there's anything bigger or more consequential happening in American politics or news right now than what we've just seen happen to this former president.
I agree, but it isn't something that happened yesterday. It has been happening since he started to run for president. And you are right. It has broken all barriers of decency, restraint, consideration of what would happen if the tables were turned. It's just, to me, the word reckless comes to mind. Nihilistic is another, just setting aside politics. What is this doing to citizens' respect for the rule of law and for a belief that we have a truly bipartisan system where we have a peaceful change of power? While they've accused President Trump of not being willing to vacate the chair, so to speak, it really seems like Democrats can't live with a existential threat to their worldview like Trump, and they will do anything to destroy not just him, but also his supporters and also their respect, frankly, for the system.
I'm going to pretend to try to be charitable for a minute and just try to get there. And with your legal mind, you can help me. What on earth could justify something like this? Is there any charitable? I mean, what's the worst case? Let's just really imagine Trump is as bad as they say. What on earth warrants this?
Well, it sure isn't violations of the National Archives regulations. I can tell you that. I would be shocked if that's the case. And let's even assume for purpose of argument that there's some technical foul, which is, by the way, something that the president has lawyers who have been cooperating with the DOJ about. And certain boxes of documents were already sent back to the National Archives. And what Americans don't understand is the National Archives are really just a temporary repository of presidential papers until the president, opens up a library, which is, sort of a slow process. And then ultimately those documents come back. So we are talking about, in my opinion, trivial matters. We're certainly not talking about matters of national security that suddenly arose nearly 2 years after the election in question where that change of power took place. I can only assume that the United States Department of Justice, which it has proven itself willing to do in other cases I'll get to in a second, is on a fishing expedition. They are either looking for some specific information that they'd like to use in their show trials in D.C., the January 6th commission, or they're searching for something else specific we don't know about, or they're just searching for any dirt they can find. Because Democrats are very nervous about the almost inevitable loss of the United States House and a close Senate race as well. And so I think that's what they're doing. And our United States Department of Justice is never meant to be a partisan football. It is never meant to be weaponized against one's political enemies. And the idea that they can do this to the former president, who is, by the way, as I mentioned, and I've spoken to some of his lawyers, cooperating and in conversation with the Department of Justice, it means they can do it to you and they can do it to me. And when you look at all these talking heads talk about the 80,000 plus IRS agents that are going to be weaponized against us and respond to our complaints by saying, well, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Then you're in this situation suddenly. And so I think that this is existential threat to our respect for rule of law in this country.
That was my next question to you, Harmeet Dhillon. Can you put this toothpaste back in the tube? I've heard calls for the disbandment of the FBI as we know it. The DOJ kind of needs to be liquidated and broken off into parts wholesale. Is that achievable? Is that necessary? What's your view going forward here?
Well, I mean, what good does it do to break up an agency when you have a massive edifice of people? I'm going to call it a caste system of bureaucrats and functionaries who are going to.
They're still committed to the same politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no fundamental change when you've got all these bureaucrats. You scatter them like lawn seed all throughout the government instead of concentrated into one department, what have you. Just scattered partisanship, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, dispersed partisanship. Harmeet, is there going to be a conviction here in your legal view? Can they find it? They will indict it. They say you can indict a ham sandwich. We have no doubt they'll indict this president. Can they convict him?
Well, I don't know if they're going to indict him or not, but I think that what they're trying to do is certainly throw enough mud, and they certainly are making all the moves that a United States would do if they're trying to indict somebody. And certainly, I think, you know, Trump has certainly been the target of this deep state operation, a bipartisan deep state, I might add. What they are absolutely doing, whether there's an indictment or not, is sending warning signs to lawyers, sending warning signs to donors, sending warning signs to legislators, to powerful people or people who have something to lose, that they better not support this president, this former president, this potentially future president. There will be consequences. So we've seen the January 6th committee rake senior citizens who served as alternate electors, which is precedented by Democrat action as well. We've seen people be forced to incur hundreds of thousands of dollars of attorney's fees to defend themselves against imaginary charges. And once you're in the crosshairs of the DOJ, their success rate is 99%. They have overwhelming power. And, most Americans simply take it for granted that if you're a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to worry about. And that is simply not true. And so I think this is really the most despicable kind of behavior, is not just being unfair to somebody, but doing it in this show trial way to make an example of him so that one dare not support him or his ilk in the future. And that is un-American.
Harmeet Dillon, I'll let you run on this question. I know you're not a politico per se, as much as you are a student of law. But I ask you as a political person for a minute, if you could. I've heard it theorized that this is actually on purpose to galvanize support for Trump, to make him the odds on favorite, because they're so desperate to go head to head with him again because they think he's the most beatable. And then, of course, the more sinister play, this is to destroy him, to make sure that he never, ever, ever rises again and won't be qualified to run if they get a conviction. I don't know where you fall, but what's the outcome here? What's the outcome for Donald Trump? What's the outcome for the country and the 74 million people that voted for him?
I think we're looking at two-dimensional chess, not, multi-dimensional chess here. I think that if these people were evil geniuses, they wouldn't have picked Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to run the country, and they wouldn't be scrambling to figure out what their end game is of that sinkhole right now. If you privately speak to any Democrat who is in the know, I think they're pretty appalled by, the economic record, the economy, the wave of Trump wins and primaries recently. They have to be panicking. And so I think they are reacting and thinking one or two steps ahead, not 12 steps ahead, because I think what happened yesterday with this raid has a lot of Republicans who are ready to move on and perhaps support a Ron DeSantis or, Mike Pompeo or somebody else. They're making a martyr out of Trump. And, it's awfully risky to think that you're going to be great. You masterminds who picked Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to run the country are going to be, brilliant enough to somehow engineer a better candidate to beat a President Trump, a candidate Trump. And so, I suppose if the end game is we're going to, take him off the table completely and convict him and scare people away from supporting him, that's the more linear thought. So anyway.
And legally speaking, I will let you go on this. Do you think they'll convict? Do you think they've got enough? Do you think they could get there?
That I could not say. I based on what I've seen so far, I think they've got nothing. This is a witch hunt, I think that would be rash to make a comment about that.
Sure, Harmeet Dillon, your mind is unlike any other in politics and the law, and we're grateful for it whenever you can make time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Oh, hey, this is great news. This just in. This deed. Celebrate. prices in July were only up 8.5% instead of the 9.1%. Hot damn, everybody. You feeling great? Celebrate. Did you get an 8.5% raise in there, Fast Eddie?
You know it.
Yeah. Interest rates are through the roof, and that slowed the economy, and we can't afford gas. But prices on gas are down just a little bit. Celebrate. Interest rates are down just a, inflation down just a little bit. Hooray. Consumer prices rose 8.5% in July. Less than expected. Inflation pressures ease a bit. So inflation is still near a 40-year high, but down just a bit. So, hey, pop the champagne. Yeah, feeling great. 8.5% inflation for the month of July. Prices up 8.5%. Hey, that's down a little bit from the record high of 40 years. 9.1% is what it was the month prior, if you've forgotten. So it's 8.5% now. Again, did you get an 8.5% raise to offset the rise in prices to 8.5%? Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Let's go to Alan in Perkasie. Alan, good morning.
Chris, hi. I'm a little worried. With 87,000 new IRS agents, can I get monkeypox from an audit?
Well, they do often. They are known for their rectal exams. Hello. Thank you, Alan. That's a wonderful question. I'm glad you posited it. Thank you, my friend. Always good to hear from you. 610-850-0990 in Quakertown. It's Dave. Hey, Dave, glad you called. Oh, yeah. Dave's conducting business. Hello,
huge,
Dave.
But I haven't.
Here, let's listen in. Who's Dave talking to? Dave.
Yeah, we'll figure it out together. Good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Hang in there. Yeah.
What's up, Nate?
Sell. Hello, Nate.
I like the hair, man. That's good.
Yeah. Nate's got a new haircut there, Nate. Nate.
Oh, well, which ain't a bad thing nowadays, right?
Nope. All good. How about them Mets? I don't know. Where's Dave calling from? Quakertown?
Yeah, it feels like that.
Hey, Dave.
Right. Like more
I
than
feel
just like a couple days.
After a while, it's a little intrusive for us to continue to listen in on Dave's conversation.
It's the IRS, man. What do you want?
It is. Here, let's try it again.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. Maybe does he know he's still on with us? Or did he intentionally? Maybe he put us on mute. Hey, right. Dave.
Dave in Quakertown.
Did he forget that he called the show? Did he set the phone down?
I think he
forgot about us.
Yeah.
That's one of the first times I've ever had that happen. Someone call the show and forget they called the show and just either what, set the phone down? Maybe he didn't hang up. My dad is the worst about that. My dad does not know how to hang up a cell phone.
Oh,
he'll call me and then we'll talk. And if I, like I'm driving, right? So I'm driving and he'll call because now my dad calls me about everything. If my dad has a thought, he calls me about it right now. You know, I was thinking this right now, Dad, really? Okay. So I'll answer the phone and he'll tell me whatever and I'm driving, right? So I don't hang up. I click accept on the dash and we talk about whatever thing he calls. And then I assume he'll just hang up. Well, he doesn't. He just put the phone in his pocket or set it down and go about his business. And sometimes just for fun to amuse myself, I'll just sit and listen to see how long it takes him to realize that, I'll hear him whistling, working, banging around on something. Like he just leave the phone connected all day long, I'm fairly convinced, if I let him. Then I hang up just because I feel guilty, like I'm creepily listening in on his business after a while.
So he thinks, as soon as you pull the phone away from your ear, it hangs up.
I guess. Anyway, 610-850-0990. Well, from the I Told You So file, it turns out Wawa is yet again taking more aggressive stance on doing business in Philadelphia. They've closed some stores. They've pulled out some stores. Now, they're closing stores early. They're ending 24-hour service. And again, I love how all these stories share one thing in common. They never tell you the why. They just talk around it. Inquirer headline, another Center City Wawa ends 24-hour service? Sucker for that midnight shorty? Have a hankering for that pre-dawn sizzly? Well, better check the hours at your nearest Wawa, because those tasty Philly delicacies and everything else Wawa has to offer when the city sleeps are becoming harder to come by in Center City. At midnight last night, Wawa ceased 24-hour operations at yet another of its Center City locations, with doors now closing at its 20th and Hamilton Street location in Franklintown. They close at 11 p.m. Store manager, who taped a makeshift sign in the shop window Monday morning to notify customers, said he was not authorized to speak on the change. Of course he wasn't. Wawa's not dumb. I was just told put a sign up. The curbing of late night hours at the store now means the majority of Center City's remaining Wawas will no longer be open 24 hours. While the pandemic and changing routines played a role, residents, customers, and store employees who spoke off the record because they were not authorized to speak said quality of life issues like excessive panhandling were also reasons. Oh, no. So they continue to lead with pandemic, do they? They keep blaming the pandemic. How long are we going to ignore what is obvious and true? The degradation, the crime, the depravity roaming the streets of Center City, Philadelphia, nightly, frankly in broad daylight, are too much for Wawa to bear. You cannot continue to allow shoplifting at the volume that so much of the American left supports and Larry Krasner supports and encourages. Our police now are just forced to allow and ignore. That can't continue. If you run a convenience store that sells, I follow this Barstool Philly account. There was a guy, I don't know which Wawa it was. Some guy walked in to a Wawa. So it was a remarkable video. I was transfixed by it. Guy standing there waiting for a sandwich, I guess. And he fires up his phone. As another guy walks into a Wawa, and you know, a lot of them have the kind of the cash registers kind of central to the store, kind of a half moon shape, right? The clerks stand behind the half moon shaped counter, and there's several clerks sometimes when it's busy, at least two or maybe three. And around that whole semicircle is a lot of loose items, right? Loose candies, candy bars, you know, various little medicines and stuff like that, kind of grab and go stuff. This guy in a Wawa starts videotaping on his phone another guy walking in with a backpack and just shoveling those items off the shelves right beneath a counter, right beneath a register in wide open Wawa, kneels down and just starts shoveling stuff into his backpack on video. And the guy is looking at the camera while being taped going, yeah, I'm doing this. Yep. Yep, just loading up all the candy and all the stuff I can grab and shoving in my backpack. You betcha, that's what I'm doing. Yep. And not in a particular hurry. Wide open. And then just saunters out the front door. This is going on a lot in Center City Wawas. And the degradation and the poverty and the homelessness and the panhandling and the theft. Wawa's already closed some stores. They will close more. They're just saying we're not going to operate anymore. We're done. We're closing doors. And isn't it? Wawa does not want to tell this story. And the city will punish them if they do. That's the worst part. Wawa can't be truthful about what's happening. Starbucks, what have they done? Same thing. Closing stores, pulling out. The city has ushered in total degradation. And retail businesses cannot operate anymore. So they're, if they're not outright leaving Center City, Philadelphia, they are restricting hours greatly. The Franklintown store is the latest downtown Wawa to end overnight service in recent years. Seven of Center City's dozen remaining Wawas now close before midnight. Wawa has also stopped 24-hour service at its East Market spot, now only open till 8 p.m. 19th and Market open till 11. Before that, it ceased 24-hour service at its flagship Center City location on Independence Mall, which opened to great fanfare in 2018 as an all-late-night option. It now remains open nightly till 11 o'clock. Folks, I want you to think about this. Wawa on Independence Mall doesn't feel capable of staying open 24 hours anymore. On the city block where our nation was founded, one of the most famous city blocks in the country, a premier convenience store chain says we can't safely stay open anymore.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.